Amen. I marvel how God orchestrates a service. A course that Brother Brian chose, had no idea what the choir had chosen to sing tonight. But I felt like talking to us tonight about letting the Holy Spirit come upon us. And then the choir sang that very theme, fall down upon us. Hallelujah. I am convinced of one thing, where there is a hunger for the moving of the Spirit, He will not disappoint. Where there is a hunger for the Holy Spirit, He will not disappoint. Hallelujah. I don't want to digress, but I think of so much ugliness in our world that's happening all around us. Make no mistake, that's because there's unholy spirits at work. If there's ever a time we needed the working of the Holy Spirit, it's the age in which we live in. Amen. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. I want to visit a story. I don't really want to tell the story. I don't want to share an exposition of the passage. I just want to leave a message with the whole church, but in particular with the young people before they leave for youth camp. And I'm going to turn to the story about Samson. Would you stand for the reading of God's word this evening? There's something in each of the verses that I've chosen, that I have chosen them for the particular attention to a certain description of what happened to Samson. Verse 5, it just gives us a little context. Then went Samson. Did I tell you the chapter? I didn't. You're people of the Spirit. You should have known where I was going to read. Chapter 14. I'll give you a moment to get there. While folks are turning, somebody could shout hallelujah. Amen. Judges 14 and verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. He didn't run. Verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent the lion as he would have rent a small goat. That's not a child kid, that's a goat kid. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, here it is again. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil. And then in Judges 15 and verse 14. And when Samson came into Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Just one quick note, you know, but I want to reinforce. The Philistines in the Old Testament were forever the people of God. Forever symbolizing that which is carnal, ungodly, worldly, against righteousness. And so he came down into Lehi. The Philistines shouted against him. Here it is again. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord. Now there's other times when Samson did exploits that it doesn't give us this description because it already has, and we're to understand even when the Spirit wasn't mentioned that that's what happened. That's what produced the exploit in Samson's life, was the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Oh, what an experience. I said, what an experience. I want you to keep one thing in mind. We're going to pray, but as we go through this, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He has been with you, but He shall be in you. If it came mightily upon Samson, it can come mightily within us. And I want to take this story of Samson, and I want us to think about some things, but my message tonight is just let the Spirit come upon you. Let the Spirit come upon you. The Spirit came mightily upon Samson. Youth camp, church, wherever. Let the Spirit come upon you. Let me put it another way. Let the Spirit move you. You can go ahead and be seated. I didn't mean to tell the untruth. I'm just going to go ahead. Without doubt, the most memorable thing about youth camp is the moving of the Holy Spirit. You can talk about sports. You can talk about friendships. You can talk about the concession stand. You can talk about all of that. But the most memorable thing about youth camp is the moving of the Holy Spirit. Not just youth camp. The most memorable thing about church. Not just church. If you're saved, the most memorable thing about your life is when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon you. 40 years ago, I didn't know. I was a teenager. But I did not know there was any such thing as youth camp. It's hard to imagine, but I didn't know that. We had a change of pastor, and he began to talk about going to youth camp. I didn't know what it was. He began to describe it. I got excited. And since I didn't know about it, one of my questions was, do they have a library? I remember the way he looked at me. Library? This is youth camp. But I'll never forget, it was Camp Peniel, by the way, at Neosho. Back then they had it out in the countryside. I never forget when we gathered in the tabernacle that night, I'd never seen so many young people worshiping God at one time. And I was sitting on the front pew, and immediately my attention, as young people began to stand and worship God, it was drawn to a teenage boy about 4 or 5 years older than I was and several of his friends. And they were weeping and worshiping. You could see the Spirit of the Lord all upon them. And then they just began to move out in the aisle and walk around that place. And other young people began to move out. And it was just the opening song service. We hadn't got any further. I'd seen the move of God's Spirit, but I had never seen that many young people yielding to the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit move upon them. I'll tell you, 40 years later, and when I think in my mind that night is as vivid right now as it was those 40 years ago. I want to tell you, there is nothing like the moving of the Holy Spirit when He comes upon you. And so the question for every young person that's going to go to camp, it's a simple question tonight, but will you let the Holy Spirit come upon you this week? Will you let the Holy Spirit move you this week at youth camp? Now, I want to tell you something. Samson gets a bad rap from preachers, and he pretty much is justified. They're pretty much justified in what they say about him. I mean, when you look at Samson's life, most of the time when you hear it preached and taught, you'll hear how Samson did wrong, and he did. You'll hear how Samson disobeyed his parents, and he did. You'll hear how Samson desired ungodly women, and he did. You'll hear how Samson fraternized with the enemy, and he did. You'll hear how Samson was carnal, and he was. And you'll hear preachers use Samson as an example of a carnal Christian who just won't stay away from the world. And he is an example of that. All of that is true. But I want to tell you, there's one thing that can be said in Samson's defense. With all of his faults, with all of his hang-ups, with all of his problems, one thing can be said about Samson. When the Spirit of the Lord wanted to move upon him, Samson let him. Samson yielded. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you let the Spirit of the Lord move upon you? Amen. Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. At another time, he slew 30 Philistines just like that. At another time, 1,000 Philistines. As the Philistines came against him, he slew 1,000 Philistines. They bound him with the toughest and the strongest of ropes, and he just broke out of them like they were nothing. Another time, they thought they had him trapped. Shut the gates of the city and said, we'll kill him in the morning. Samson got up in the night, went to the gates of the city, huge, massive gates, began to wiggle them, broke them out, gates, threshold, jam, door jam, and all, put them on his shoulder, carried him away with him. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. All these marvelous things that he did. And all of those times, with everything else that was wrong with Samson, even he let the Spirit of the Lord move upon him, and he did what God wanted him to do. by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you one other good thing about Samson. He had a lot of hang-ups, but he didn't like bondage. I said he didn't like bondage. He didn't like to be bound. He didn't like to be imprisoned. Amen. I'll tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord gets upon you, you don't like bondage. You don't like anything that binds and infetters and chains and incarcerates. And so once again, the question that is facing young people going to youth camp, facing us tonight in the church, will we, like Samson, allow the Holy Spirit to move upon us? Amen. That's the question. But I'm telling you, it needs a little understanding with it. You know, it's a thrilling experience to have the Holy Spirit move upon you. How many knows that's true? Amen. It's a thrilling experience to have the Holy Ghost move upon you. And though it's thrilling, a thrilling experience for the Holy Ghost to move upon you, He never moves just to give you a thrilling experience. How many knows that's true? It's a thrilling experience for the Holy Spirit to move, but He never moves just to give you a thrilling experience. He moves on you and me. He moves for a purpose. He didn't just move, come upon Samson and Samson shake, and that was all that was over. He moved upon Samson so Samson could do something, accomplish something, so that he could move in and through Samson. And when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, He moves upon us to accomplish spiritual things in us and through us. It's thrilling, but He moves with a purpose. One thing about the Holy Spirit, though, it's been said in times past, and I want to reiterate it, the Holy Spirit will never make somebody do something they don't want to do, they're not willing to do. Amen. I'm not talking about conviction. I'm talking about doing God's will and God's plan. I'm convinced when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, Samson could have held himself back and down, said, no, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. And the Holy Spirit would have left him. No, Samson had to yield. Samson had to say yes. And when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, He allowed him to move, because the Spirit won't make folks do what they don't want to do. And could I say, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon us, it's just time to say yes, yes, go ahead, Spirit. Do with me what you want to do with me. Use me how you want to use me. Amen. You see, Samson's grave error, his big mistake, however, was to think that he could disobey, break God's laws, live carnally, and always count on the Spirit once more coming upon him and moving on him yet again. I see folks like that today. They get the spirit of Samson. Oh, God's blessed me. I felt the Spirit. And so I'll just go ahead and live the way I want to live. That was Samson's error. The problem is, although Samson had let the Spirit move upon him, he really didn't value those times. If he had valued the times the Spirit of the Lord had moved upon him, he would have done everything that he could to ensure that those times kept coming. He wouldn't let any Philistine woman, he wouldn't let any carnal thing keep the Spirit of the Lord from moving upon him had he valued those times. Instead, Samson did the opposite. He chose the things which would one day cause the Spirit to leave him. Amen. He chose things in life. What did he do? First of all, he refused to keep God's word. I won't go into all the particulars, but God said of Samson, he's not to touch anything unclean. What did Samson do? He went and broke God's word. He touched that carcass of the lion. He touched what was unclean. Amen. He purposely did that which violated God's word. Let me tell you something else Samson did. He always had a desire for what was forbidden. I mean, as a young man, he told mom and dad, he said, there's a girl down there in Timnath, in Philistia, that I like. She pleases me. I want her. And his his dad said, Samson, aren't there enough godly young ladies in Israel? I mean, people of God, why are you wanting one of those Philistine girls? You see, there was something in Samson's heart. He always wanted what was forbidden. God said, when you got ready to marry, I'm not preaching on marriage or dating, you can relax, but he said, when you get ready to marry, amen, don't go and find one of those worldly girls from another tribe, from another nation. Marry somebody of the children of God. Those other girls were forbidden, and yet Samson's heart, he wanted what was forbidden, and so he broke God's laws. He desired what was forbidden, what was carnal, what was worldly, but he did something else. He did not respect his leaders, in particular his parents. Daddy and mama tried to talk Samson out of going down there to Timnath, and you know what Samson kept answering? But she pleases me. Did you know that's in the Bible? But she pleases me. You know what Samson was saying? He said, Mom, Dad, you can talk all you want to, but I want what I want. And I'm going to have what I want. I'm telling you, amen, that's the reason he ultimately lost the moving of the Spirit of the Lord upon his life, because he only wanted what pleased him rather than what pleased the Lord. And so therefore, Samson indicated by his continual disobedience of God's word and by his continual flirtation with the world that he no longer desired the Spirit to move upon him. He never said it with his lips. He never made that declaration. I don't want the Spirit to come upon me anymore. But the way he lived, the choices he made, he said with his life, I don't value the moving of the Spirit. You know, the Samson story begins to end in a house of a lady of ill repute named Delilah. You know that. You know how that story went. She seduced Samson, and she's ultimately the one that found the secret of his strength. And Samson kept playing around with the spiritual treasure that he had until he lost it. You know, they paid her, or said they would pay her, to find out what his strength was. And you know, first of all, he said, you know, you just take these strips of green bark and you put them around me and I'll be like another man. Amen. And that didn't work. He broke those. And then he said, you know, put ropes around me and new ropes and that'll take my strength. And then he broke those. And now he's getting a little closer. He said, you know, take my hair and weave it into a beam here, and that'll take my strength. And that didn't. And finally, he just came right out and told Delilah, it's my hair. I'm a Nazarite from my birth. Amen. I'm a special born child of God with a purpose. And God said, I have this Nazarite. And he just came out and told her. But you see, many times in Delilah's house, he could still rise and feel the Spirit of the Lord upon him and conquer his enemies. But what I want you to consider, there was a period when the Spirit of the Lord kept moving on Samson when he was already sleeping in Delilah's house. How many realizes that? The Spirit of the Lord was coming. Now, here's the problem. The Spirit of the Lord's still moving on Samson. He's already sleeping in Delilah's house. But the Spirit of the Lord never came upon Samson in Delilah's house for him to come to the conclusion, it must be all right for me to sleep in Delilah's house because I have felt the Spirit even though I'm in her house. The Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon him so he could say it's all right to be in Delilah's house. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so he could say, hey, wait a minute. I shouldn't be here. This isn't what God wants. This isn't God's will. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him that he might wake up and say, I don't want to lose this. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to quit in just a second. I'm going to give you three reasons why Samson should let the Spirit and desire never to have let the Spirit depart from him, but to continue to move, and why we should desire to have the Spirit of the Lord move upon us. This isn't theological. It's just some things I wanted you to think about. Number one, I believe when the Spirit moves upon us, it's euphoric beyond anything else. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to feel the Spirit of the Lord come upon you and see this massive lion? You know, we had that lion that pulled that lady threw the wind at a safari a while back. I mean, that's nothing to mess with. And can you imagine what Samson felt? As far as we know, nobody else saw that. But can you imagine what he felt when this massive lion jumps out at him and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and Samson just runs towards that lion? Can you imagine what that felt like? I'm telling you, that was euphoric. Can you imagine what it felt like to see a whole army come against you and you're just one? And with what wouldn't even really qualify as a weapon, stand there and feel the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. And one after the other is amassed around you and attack you from all sides. The Spirit of the Lord's upon you. They're fallen. Can you imagine what that would feel like when you had won the victory? Can you imagine what it would feel like to walk up to maybe 30-foot tall doors? Maybe they weighed, I don't know, I forgot, but maybe they weighed 500,000 pounds apiece. And to walk up to them and just tear them out, jam and everything, and put them on. Can you imagine what that felt like? You see, Samson's problem was he was carnal, and he had fleshly desires. But I'm convinced, even though he pursued those carnal and lustful desires, he never, ever experienced anything following his carnal desires like he experienced those times when the Spirit of the Lord came upon. And that's going to be true for every individual. Folks can pursue the lust of the flesh and carnal desires, but they will never, ever experience anything. They don't make a drug. There's not a drink that you'll ever experience what you will experience when you let the Holy Spirit move upon you. How many can tell you that's the truth? That's the truth. Amen. I know I've told it several times, and you'll remember the one camp dove. We were into song service, and there was the gifts of the Spirit and message in tongues and interpretation. And the interpretation was, there is nothing like my presence. And then God illustrated it. Did you see how little children, some that didn't even know hardly about church, in a moment they sensed the Spirit of the Lord begin to weep and God moved. If you were in that service, you haven't forgotten it, right? Why? Because there's nothing like the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. You can search this world over. You'll never, oh, it'll fulfill, it'll complete, it'll make you clean and satisfy. Secondly, Samson should have continued to desire the Spirit to come upon him, and we ought to as well, because when the Spirit comes upon you, it's effective beyond anything else. Beyond anything else. It's pointed out many times, if Samson's strength was in his stature, his muscles, if he looked particularly unique in his muscle tone and form, then the Philistines wouldn't have asked Delilah for the secret of where his power was. If the power was in his muscles, they wouldn't have been looking for where his power was. So even his enemies understood. I don't know, Samson might have had lots of muscles. He might have been pretty tall and pretty big, and he might have been. But even the enemies knew that what Samson did was far beyond natural strength and natural power and natural force. It was supernatural. And what I'm trying to say is, without the Spirit of God, and we saw, without the Spirit of God, Samson could not overcome the Philistines. Without the Spirit of God upon him, Samson could not bust out the gates. He could not break the fetters in himself. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, amen, we are effective beyond anything else. I want to tell you just a really quick truth about this. We can't live this Christian life on our own. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability. You can't stand up to the temptation on your own. You can't. You'll fail. You'll falter. You can't make it through the trials. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can be victorious. You can overcome. You can make the stand. You can defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord, he does that. He makes folks effective in living for God. Amen. People will be able to tell you when they look at your life, you're living that life by a power that's greater than your own. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's why we need to let the Spirit of the Lord come upon us, because he empowers, he enables, he strengthens, and we can live this. We can live this with his ability and his strength. And last of all, amen, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he should have continued to desire that. We should desire that, because when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he exceeded beyond himself. You say, what are you talking about? Well, whatever effect, whatever personal effect the Spirit of the Lord had on Samson, when the Spirit moved on Samson, it was for a purpose bigger than Samson. You say, what are you talking about? Well, where's Samson found? He's found in the book of Judges. Who were the judges? They were the deliverers of Israel. And so whatever Samson felt when the Spirit came upon him, he wasn't killing Philistines just for himself. Amen. He was killing Philistines to deliver the people of God, to deliver Israel. Amen. There's one reason the Philistines didn't attack Israel and begin to put them in bondage, because they knew if they started up to Israel to take slaves and put them in bondage, they was going to face this man called Samson. I know it felt good for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon Samson, but the Spirit of the Lord didn't come on Samson just for Samson's sake. He came upon Samson to make him a deliverer of his people. And I'm telling you, there's a wonderful thing about when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. It'll bless you. It'll help you. But in the end, the Spirit of the Lord will do something in you and through you that'll benefit others. You'll see other folks helped, other folks delivered, other folks set free, because you let the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. Would you come, music? I see this more and more as I look at Scripture and I contemplate life. It's something I've tried. And young people, I said that rhetorical. Young people, if you've listened, you've heard that over and over recently, because I'm convinced from Scripture and from life that that's where it is. Fulfillment is living for a purpose bigger than yourself. And it's this simple. When Samson let the Spirit of the Lord come upon him, he lived and did things for a purpose bigger than himself. But when Samson followed his carnal desires, he lived and did things just for Samson. Right? I believe the generation that these young people are a part of, some of them haven't articulated it. Others of them have not really reflected upon them. But if you'd really listen to their heart, that's what they want to do. They don't want to just live for material things in themselves. They want to live for something that's worth living for, something bigger than themselves. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit moves upon us, and suddenly we're not concerned just about us. We're concerned about things, about reaching out for souls and helping people. The Spirit of the Lord upon us will cause us to live for a purpose bigger than we are. Amen? And you know, the sad thing is, Samson had to learn that. And I know there's a little bit of selfishness even to the end. And we're not going to get into that theological debate about the end of Samson's life and all that. All I know is the Bible says, one more time, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And even in his death, he slew more than in his life. And all those many, many Philistines that were slaughtered even at Samson's death when the Spirit came upon him, that helped the people of God. Those were the people of God's enemies, the ones that gave them problems and plagued them. And so when the Spirit of the Lord moved, even at the end of Samson's life, it benefited others. I mean, if you want to know what living for yourself does to folks, look at our society today. Amen. The mess, the corruption of the very fiber of our society. People living for self, self-pleasure, self-wealth, self-aggrandizement. And look at the misery. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you say, I'm a part of something bigger than I am. Hallelujah. I've got a purpose for living. And so let me summarize. And my prayer is this will just percolate in our hearts and just more and more as we've sung tonight that we'll desire the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us. But Samson, in summary, speaks two things. Number one, never resist the Spirit when He wants to come upon you. Sadly, I've seen that in conviction, in the baptism of the Spirit. I have seen folks, and I know I've kind of keep moving back to the young people, I've seen them resist the Spirit of the Lord. I knew the Spirit of the Lord was drawn to the altar, but they refused to come. I knew the Spirit of the Lord was talking to them about surrender and yielding, but they refused to yield. I knew the Spirit of the Lord wanted to use them. You could tell it. They knew it. But they just kind of shook their head. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. When He begins to move upon you, just throw up your heart and say, please move upon me, Holy Spirit. Take all of me. And the second thing of Samson is he lost that because of selfish carnal pursuits. I'm not going to re-preach this sermon, but he lost it because he disobeyed God's word. He would not respect his leaders, in particular his parents, and he followed his own lustful carnal inclinations and went after what was forbidden instead of seeking what God would give him. Amen. I told my wife recently, everything in our society seems to be about dancing anymore. I mean, you can't even look at, clips of children anymore. They've got to be dancing for it's cute. Everybody's dancing. You see, one thing about it, when you dance, you're moving to something. You're moving to the tempo. You're moving to the music. And it's really kind of frightening what all these dancers are moving to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, rather than be like this world and dance to its tunes, wouldn't it be wonderful to be moving because you're responding to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit speaking. The Holy Spirit's leading. The Holy Spirit's moving upon you. How many wants to let the Holy Spirit move upon you? Hallelujah. Let's stand across the building. Hallelujah. We've sung it already. I want the power of your Spirit to flow over me. The choir sang about the Spirit coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this isn't something we can turn on and off like a faucet. God is sovereign. He moves how and when He desires. Amen. I can't tell you. I've been praying. You've been praying. I've been praying for that next wave of glory that sweeps through Union Road and just gets a hold of our hearts and saves folks. And we have those wonderful deliverances and things. And amen. I've been waiting. I can't turn that on and off like a faucet. But I tell you one thing I can do. When God sovereignly decides to begin to pour out His Spirit afresh, I can let Him move me. I can let Him come upon me. How many would like the Spirit of the Lord to come mightily upon you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's power in that. Mightily. Mightily. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you're just hungry for the Spirit to move upon you. I mean, really, this isn't just to end the sermon and conclude the service. But if there's something in your heart that says, I can't do it just myself. My own ability, my own strength. I need divine enablement. I need divine. If there's a hunger in your heart to let the Spirit move upon you and in you and through you, would you begin to fill the altars tonight and say, Spirit of God, move and I'll let you move. I'll let you come upon me. I'll let you touch my heart. I'll let you move in me and through me. Hallelujah. I need the power of your Spirit. I need the power. I want the power. I don't want to just live this life under my own steam, my own energy, my own ability and resources. I want to live this life under the power. Oh, let Him come. He's not going to make you do what you're not willing to do. He won't make you pray. He won't make you worship. Oh, but if you'll let Him, He'll come upon you. You'll feel Him praying through you. You'll feel worship. You'll feel reaching out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I need the power of your Spirit, Lord. Prepare me. I want to be a sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. Would you let His Spirit move upon you in these altars? Would you let Him come mightily upon you? Seek Him. He will. Seek Him to come upon you. Seek Him. Oh, Spirit of God, I need you to come upon me. Spirit of God, I need you to come upon me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of God, come upon me afresh. I'll let you move on me. Church, believe it can happen around these altars tonight. Believe that the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you. Move it in your heart. Move it upon your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord, move upon my mind. Spirit of the Lord, move upon my thoughts. Spirit of the Lord, move upon my desires. Spirit of the Lord, move upon my innermost being. Oh, God. Oh, create of me a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit touch you tonight. Oh, I give myself to Him.